Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in 6 different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
So I'm going to dive into this message. I have a lot to share with you. And let's pray. Father, I thank you for the next few moments. Lord, it's so good to be in your house and in your presence. And I ask that you would speak to us through your word. According to your word, it is a double-edged sword. And it's able to divide the soul, spirit. It's able to get right to the heart of the matter. And I pray that's what you would do in us today. Use your word to get to our heart. Speak life. Speak truth. I pray to speak the truth and to do it in love. And I pray you would build us up today as we come back, our first real gathering back as we celebrate you. Heal hearts. There are those in this room who are grieving. I pray you bring healing. There are those in this room who are angry. I pray that you would bring comfort and settle. But more than anything, I pray you bring truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the best ways to describe our world right now is one word: complicated. Things in our world right now are very complicated. Emotions are high. Fears are high. Confusion is high. Things seem very complex. And as a matter of fact, I was online, which I have not done a whole lot of, but I was online recently and I saw a picture and I thought, this picture sums up not all of you, but probably a good amount of your feelings right now. And I just want to show you this picture as we dive into our message. It's what they call a Venn diagram. Do we have that picture? Can we post that? That's not the picture. Okay, do I just need to move forward? Yeah, okay, I'll just move forward. Well, I saw this picture and it basically gave a lot of the different emotions and feelings and concerns that many of us have. And it was all of these emotions wrapped up into one with this one circle in the middle that said, me. Me. And I think that's where most of us are at right now. There it is. It says, saddened by the riots. Now, let me bring some clarity to this. Thinks Tiger King is going to be the highlight of 2020. I've never even seen it. And I pray to God that it's not the highlight, just from what I've heard. Tired. Worried a second wave of COVID is inevitable. Outraged by police brutality. Want to raise good humans. Want to be open-minded. Believes Black lives do matter. Anxious. Supports good cops. Proud of peaceful protests, emotionally drained, and right in the middle, me. I think that's where a number of you are right now. Emotionally torn and all over the place and just exhausted. And the truth is, things just feel complicated. And with this complication is this sense of when things feel this complicated, we just don't know what to do, so we stop doing anything. The reason why things feel complicated is because things are complicated. That's just the fact of it. And I hope to speak to you this morning as the pastor of this campus and to help pastor your hearts. Things are complicated right now. And even as a pastor, I recognize that words are valuable and words are sensitive. And we have to guard those things. And as I mentioned earlier, we have to speak the truth, but we have to speak the truth in love. Why? Because that's what God commands us to do. But when the world is complicated, this is what we do as God's people, because we do not war as the world wars. We are different. We are the light. And this morning, I don't plan to preach to you. I think DeMar did that enough this morning. This morning, I want to pastor you. This morning, I want to speak truth to you. When the world gets complicated, we go back to our true north. We go back to the Word of God. We go back to the place that actually has the answers that we need. When we feel lost, God's given us some incredible tools. And he simplifies a lot of really complicated, complex things. God has a way of taking what's complex and making it extremely simple. And this morning, I hope to simplify that. As a matter of fact, in the rest of this series, I hope to. And the title of this series is simply called Basics. We're going to go back to the basics of our faith, the basics of following Jesus. Because I believe at the basics is where we can find simplicity when things are complex. That's where we're going. Jesus has a way of looking beyond the surface of our minds and getting right to our heart. People come to Jesus with all of these complex things, and I'm going to get to a story in the Bible that talks about that. But they come to Jesus, well, what about this and what about that? And in one word, Jesus goes right to the heart. And when God touches the heart and deals with the heart, all of the fluff doesn't matter, because all of the fluff is just a byproduct of the heart. When God has to deal with a heart, he fixes everything else. When you look at a tree that's full of different things, right? Or better yet, let me put it like this. When you look at a weed, now I didn't say weed, I said a weed. It's a different message. But when you look at a weed, you can pull it up and pull it up and pull it up, and it's going to keep coming up until you kill the root of it. And the root of something is, in essence, is heart. For us, our root system is our heart. When God touches our heart, he changes everything on the outside of us. And he has a way of doing that. Here's the thing about when things don't seem clear. When things don't seem clear, when they don't feel clear, we stop moving forward. When there's no clarity, we stop because we're not sure where to go or what to do. Think about this. When you're driving down the road and you're in your car and it starts raining, what's the first thing you do? You cut on your windshield wipers so that you can see clearly. But when it starts pouring down, raining, and it doesn't matter how much Rain-X you have on, it doesn't matter how fast your windshield wipers are, when it starts pouring to the point where you can't see, you pull over to the side of the road until things start to clear up. Why? It's hard to move forward without clarity. It's hard to move forward without clarity. So this morning, I want to talk about clarity, clearing things up, making things abundantly clear from God's word, because that's what Jesus did. So let's go to God's word. We're looking for answers, all of us. Let's be honest. What about this? What about that? I think they're right, but I think they're right, but I think they're right, and I think they're wrong, and I know they're wrong, but I also know they're wrong. But then Jesus comes in, and his word goes right to the heart. I want to read a story to you in the Bible where a group of people came to test Jesus, really to trap Jesus. And this is what it says. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it says this. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus, there's like 600 plus laws in the Old Testament, not to mention all of the laws that they tacked on and added on in what they call the intertestamental period, which is the 400 years where there was no voice from God, no prophet. There's nothing written really about that in the canon of scripture. And so they tacked on all of these different things. And then they come to Jesus. This guy comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, out of all of this, what's the most important?" Because right now, y'all are arguing about whether or not we should wash our hands or not before we eat. You're arguing about whether or not to help a person on the Sabbath day who needs help. We're arguing about all of this stuff. But Jesus, which one is the most important? This question may seem innocent, but another account of this. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four different accounts of the same story of Jesus. Another account of this shows us that this was really a gotcha moment. That these religious leaders were simply waiting for Jesus to say something wrong so they could got you. Say one thing out of line and I'm going to pounce on you. That's what they were trying to do to Jesus right now. They were trying to trap him so that they could get him. But Jesus knew this. This is what the Bible, this is how I know this has happened. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 34, this is what it says. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question. Have you ever been tested? You ever felt like you were being set up? You ever walked into a setting knowing that people act as if they want to hear truth from you, but really they're just waiting to see how they can get you? It's what happens when we're fractured and we're divided. That's what happens. And this is what they're trying to do to Jesus. But I want you to listen to Jesus' answer. Because he knew what they were doing. He knew exactly what was going on. This is what he said. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. See, even though the origin of this question was to trap Jesus, even though the time was tumultuous, the time was conflict-filled, even though the heart behind this was to get Jesus in a place where they could get him in trouble, what came out of that was some of the greatest clarity the world has ever seen. What is God looking for? What does God really want from us out of all of the things in the Bible that we're supposed to be doing and not doing? What is most important to God? He tells us, love the Lord your God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. This is how this man responded. Verse 32 says, well said, teacher. The man replied, you are right in saying that God is one and there's no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. In that moment, Jesus leveled the questions. At that moment, Jesus leveled every thought or concept that they were going to get him to say something that he shouldn't say. Because he went right to God's word and he went right to our heart. Love the Lord your God. So in this series, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the basics again of our faith, of who we are, who we're supposed to be on God's behalf. Well, Pastor, there's just so much pressure. It feels like I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to say that. Listen, and it certainly feels that way. It feels like there's a lot of pressure in the world, and there is. But it feels that way when you're looking in all the wrong places. That's why we feel this pressure. As a follower of Jesus, I want you to know something. Your validation is supposed to be found in one place and in one place alone. The presence and the pleasure of God. God validates us. I live for the audience of one. Of one. As a Christian, you should live for the audience of one. That's who we have to please. Because at the end of the day, when I stand before him, you won't be there. When I stand before him, your opinion will not matter. When I stand before him, it is what he says about how I lived. So I live for his pleasure. I live for his honor. And listen to me, hear me. I believe, don't hear what I'm not saying, I believe in speaking up for injustice. I believe we have a responsibility to do such. I do. I believe in seeing healing happen in our nation because we need it. But more than a 30-second social media post, I believe in living a lifestyle of what we're talking about. I do. Because again, listen to me. This is what is so polarizing, and I have to speak to this as your pastor. I have to. It's so easy to get online and divide in a second. In 30 seconds, you can say something that divides you from your brother and your sister. 30 seconds. And then I've heard people say, where's the church? Why isn't the church saying anything? Say something. We've been living it. We've been living it. For 20 years, this church has existed, saying we exist to defeat pride, poverty, and prejudice. For 20 years. Post something, we will. And we have. But you hear me. Don't you think for a second that a 30-second Instagram post is more important than standing on the stage and building a culture that allows people from every walk of life to come and sit together and do life together and break bread together and forgive one another? So have your 30-second Instagram post. Good job. But more importantly than that, live it. Live it. Reach across the aisle and offer acceptance and empathy. Reach across the aisle and offer forgiveness. That's the body of Christ. That's what Jesus wants. I'm going to stop preaching while I preach. Let's live this message, church. Jesus made it simple. You want to know what the most important thing to do is? Love God with everything. Love God with everything. Today we want to focus on the first command. Love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. This message, this what Jesus said, test our motives. This tests our motivations. See, this goes beyond the external things that we do and gets right to the heart, our motives. Why are we doing this? Why are we saying this? Why are we acting this way? Jesus' words go right to the heart of this, beyond our actions. See, this is not about being a good person. The world has a standard of morality that it does not live up to. The world has created this standard of perfection that it never even attempts to reach on its own, but it superimposes it on you. Love God with your heart. Let me explain this for a moment. And this is so true. Love is a verb. Love is a verb. Love is an action, but that's not where it begins. Love begins in the heart. When you say that you love God with all of your heart, you love God with your affections. I have an affectionate love for God. I have an affectionate love for my wife. When you love God with your heart, you belong to Him. Listen, when I put a ring on my wife's finger and she put a ring on mine, we were saying to one another, I now belong to you. When you love God with your heart, you are telling Him, I don't belong to me anymore. And I want to be with you. I want to be in your presence. The reason some of us have marriage problems is we forget that. We think that we made the commitment, so I'm going to show up every night. I made the commitment to God. I'm going to show up on every Sunday, except for the 3 months that we're not able to do that. I'm going to show up. And we forget to love Him with our affections. He wants us to want to care for Him, want to spend time with Him, want to be with Him. That is loving God affectionately. You're not divided in your heart. God, I love you, but I also love this. You can love all of those things, but your love for Him has to be the most important love you have for anyone or anything. I love my wife and my kids more than anybody else in this world. But I love Jesus even more than them. He has my heart. He has my affection. That's how I love him. So we have to love God with our affections. We also have to love God with our soul and our mind. So it's not about just the things that you do. It goes back to your heart. He wants us to love him from our heart, from the depth of who we are, from our affections, from how we feel. And listen to me, we go through dry seasons. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying if you're in the dry season, you don't love God. Those come, but they should not stay there. You don't stay there. You fall in love with him again. Some of you need to fall in love with your spouse by simply taking the time and going on a date. Spend some time with them. Talk to me, Marcus and Patricia Harris. Date night specialist back there. If you need to know what a date night is, talk to that couple. Same thing with God. I want to fall in love with God again. Start spending time with him again. Start spending time with him again. But loving God with our soul and our mind, listen, this moves from our internal to our very being. Loving God with how you think. Let me tell you something that I think we all, this was a major revelation for me. And it took a long time for me to get this. As a believer, I am spirit led. That means that my mind does not lead me. I take my thoughts captive. So many of us live our lives just pulled away by our minds, by what we think, by our emotions, but we are not led by our emotions. We are led by the Spirit of God. So that means you could not feel it. That means that in those moments, you may feel contrary to what you know His Spirit is leading you to do. That does not mean that you have an excuse to not do what His Spirit wants you to do. Because we are led by the Spirit of God. We are God's people. I don't belong to myself. I belong to that woman. And I belong to him. You know, I had a family member. And he came to me and he said, Gabe, I'm having a hard time feeling empathetic. Like just in general in life, I just don't feel empathy. And I also told him, it's not just your empathy, it's your pride, but that's a separate thing. He said, I just don't feel empathetic. And essentially, this was what we got down to. Even if you don't feel it, you do it because you fear God. Even if you don't feel like being compassionate to someone, you do it because he commanded you to do it. Even if you don't feel like forgiving someone who hurt you, you forgive them because he commanded it. When you belong to him, and I told him, and this was a hard thing to tell him, I said, bro, this is your problem. It's a lack of the fear of God. Because this relationship, and there was a particular relationship we were talking about. I said, this particular relationship, you're not forgiving because you don't fear God enough to obey him. And you can pray all day long, you can hear from the Holy Spirit all day long, but God told you that if this relationship is not made right, don't bring your offering to me until you've made that relationship right, and you know that. And because you're not willing to do that, that's a lack of the fear of God. He wasn't loving God with his mind. He was letting his mind lead him. We love God with our hearts. We love God with our souls and with our minds. Are y'all with me? Love has to become our motivation, not our feelings. You do feel love. It begins with the feeling. But ultimately, the next step of that is it becomes a choice. You choose to love God. And then lastly, you love God with your strength. You love him with your strength, your might, your strength. Another way of putting this is you love God with your abilities, with your functions. Everything he's given you, you love him with it. For those of you who continue to give to our church, even while we were sidelined for 3 months, doing the best we could to provide church online, you loved God with your resources. Thank you. Loving God with your strengths is your physical abilities. Some of you came and brought boxes to people in need during this time. People who you knew didn't have anything. You came, drove up here, got a box, and brought them food. That's loving God with your abilities. Loving God with your influence. Love God with your influence. And I know that I mentioned this, but can I pastor you for a moment? Is that okay? For those of you who didn't say it, I love you enough, I'm going to say it anyway. Loving God with your influence. Here's just a small example of this. Loving God with your social media. Because some of you are saved, but your Facebook is not. I mean this in love. Please hear me. Some of you have used your own social media and your own influence in people's lives to divide yourselves. And I'm not saying that you did not have good reason. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is when you've used the influence God's given you to divide yourselves from your brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless of what side you're on, I could care less what side you're on, you have sinned against God and you should repent. And that is a sobering thing to say, but it is the truth. If you've divided from your brothers and your sisters and used your influence as a tool for that, you have not loved God well. Let me give you an example of this. This is Jesus. Pastor, aren't there issues? You better believe they are, and we need to deal with them. But we need to deal with them together as the body of Christ, not divided as the body of Christ. Jesus had a number of people who followed him, and there's a lot of backstory and things in this that you have to read into in order to understand. But just, I want to tell you about two men who followed Jesus. The Bible says there was a man named Simon the Zealot who followed Jesus, and a man named Matthew the tax collector who followed Jesus. Let me tell you a little bit about Matthew the tax collector. Tax collectors in that day, and you've heard me preach about this before, they were viewed as sellouts because the Jewish people were under the oppression of the Roman Empire. And those tax collectors were people who said, we're going to side with the oppressors, the Romans, and we are going to not only do that, we're going to use the Romans' influence to cheat our Jewish brothers and sisters, and we're going to do that and fatten our pocketbooks while we're at it. Matthew was a tax collector. When Jesus found him, he was literally right there cheating God's people when Jesus called him. Simon the Zealot. There were four religious entities in the Jewish culture back there. You know of two, Sadducees and Pharisees. There were another group called the Essenes. But then there was another group called the Zealots. And the Zealots were so zealous for God's mission and God's purpose in the land and in with the Jewish culture that they would literally find a Roman, pull them aside, and kill them in the name of God. They would start uprisings. They would start wars if they could. As a matter of fact, Barabbas, the man who the people chose instead of Jesus, was an insurrectionist. He was a man who had started wars, or at least attempted to. And that's who the people chose instead of Jesus, Selah. But Simon was a zealot. Those two men sat together with Jesus, ate together with Jesus, and followed Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is our unifier. He is our unifier. Church, what am I saying? Love God with your heart. Love God with your strength. Love God with your souls, with your mind. And I'll briefly, as we close, why don't we do this? I'll tell you why. Because we love God more than, we love ourselves sometimes more than we love God. That's one reason. We're all guilty of it. I am very much guilty of this. Very much guilty of this. Loving myself more. We value our opinions more than we value God's opinion. I've been very guilty of this. And as a matter of fact, during the COVID thing, God dealt pretty seriously with me about my opinions. to the point where I had to die to speaking my precious opinions and speaking on his behalf, because you don't need my opinion. You need his word coming from me. Number three, we value others' opinions more than we do God's word. When I value what you think and you think, this is what I'm doing. I'm creating an idol that I want you all to worship. When I care more about your opinions, I've created, like King Nebuchadnezzar, which we all remember from the book of Daniel, I create this golden statue of myself, and I defy anyone who does not fall down and worship it. That's what happens when I live for your opinion, because you're not getting the real me. I'm just giving you who I think you think I should be. These are all reasons that keep us from loving God with our everything. And it shouldn't be that way. Next week, I'm going to speak very practically, very honestly about loving one another and what that means. And I pray that you come with an open heart to hear it. But why should we do these things? I told you why we shouldn't. Why should we do these things? Because Jesus gave us the privilege of following him. He left his privilege to die for us, to sacrifice for us, to pay the ultimate price for an undeserving people. That's what Jesus did. And he took flesh on, lived a man, and died on the cross for me. That's why I love him. When I was unlovable, he loved me. This is my response. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I'm going to give us a moment briefly to, before we leave, to sing one more song and to leave this place in worship. The Bible says this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's my response to what he's done for me. I love him, and I will lay down my life for him because I love him. So with that said, I would like to ask everybody in this room, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to bow your heads. And if you hear and you say, Pastor, I needed to hear this today, because there's been some areas in my life that I'm seeing very clearly I've not been loving God with them. Right where you're at, I want you to get that right in your heart before God here in his presence. I want you to get that right between you and him right now. But then also there's a group of you here today who you've come, and maybe, truth be told, you've never really had that with God. You've never had the reason to love him with everything in your heart, because you don't yet realize what he did for you. And today God's offering you something. He's offering you an opportunity to be what the Bible calls born again. That means you become a new creation. You become a different person. And you follow him with everything that you are. And because of that, he gives you heaven. Because of that, he gives you heaven on earth. He gives you the kingdom of God. Not perfection on earth, but the kingdom of God on the earth. He forgives you of your sins, and he gives you a new start. That's how much he loves you. So you may be saying, Pastor, how do I get this? Jesus said it this way: you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are first born again. So that's you, and you say, Pastor, I want to be born again today. I want to give you that opportunity. It's as easy as ABC. A, you admit that you're a sinner. Admit that there's just some things in your life that are sin before God, and it's not right. B, you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. The price he paid was for your sin. And see, you confess. Confess what? That he is now the Lord of your life, and he calls the shots. So with no one looking around, if you say, Pastor, that's me, and I want to be born again today, It's a one-time thing. I'm not asking this. This is not that first group of people. This is, I've never prayed to be born again, and I want to be. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand, and we're all going to pray a prayer together, and you're going to be born again today. One, two, three. If that's you, lift it up. Thank you. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. You can put them down. Church, let's pray this prayer together before we go into a song of worship, and then I'll come back up and close. So say this with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and that on the cross, you died for my sin, for my guilt, and for my shame. I believe you faced hell for me, so I would not have to go there. And you rose again from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. I turn from my sin to follow you. And from this moment on, God, you are my Father. Jesus, you are my Savior. Holy Spirit, you are my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.